Every time we treat another person with dignity and respect, and every time we bring a little compassion to another human being, especially a human being that is hurting and broken, and every time we offer love as a way of life, we bring Christ to others.
That's the Reverend Dr. Scott Colglazier, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. R. Scott Colglazier, who served as senior minister of First Congregational Church of Los Angeles, California since 2008. Ordained in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Scott earlier served at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and the famed Riverside Church of New York City. He earned his graduate degrees from Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, Indiana. Scott is the author of several books, including his most recent, A Dictionary of Faith for Open-Hearted, Open-Minded People. Scott, welcome to Day One.
I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you, Peter.
You are a nationally known pastor, author, speaker, and spiritual leader, and I understand you have a simple guiding principle for your work. The greatest glory to God is a human being fully alive. So how do you hope to help that happen?
Well, I think part of it comes out of my own life, that that's how I want to live. Mm. I want to be the kind of person that is alive to the world around me, to my own feelings and experiences, alive to beauty and creativity. And I want that for other people as well. One thing that you realize when you're a minister is that people come to church for a lot of different reasons. But primarily, people come there because they want something that will help animate their lives in a significant way. And so for me, I think to say the Christian message that it's about God's love, about God's goodness and grace, that empowers people to live more fully. And so that's what I try to do in my ministry.
You are the author of numerous books, including A Larger Hope, Opening the Heart to God, Circling the Divine, Spiritual Reflections for the Journey, and Finding a Faith That Makes Sense. And your most recent book is A Dictionary of Faith, in which you as a 21st century progressive religious leader take a look at the Christian vocabulary. What did you find?
Well, of course, what one finds is that people can use the language of religion in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. And what I have found over and over again, what somebody means when they say they're a Christian is very different from what I mean when I say I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And how they talk about God or Jesus or the Bible are very, very different in terms of the sort of the spectrum of how mm-hmm. people think about life and faith. And so what I was trying to do in that book is to give people a way of using Christian language, but it's a way that's open, that it's positive, that it is optimistic, and that it also makes intellectual sense. And mm-hmm. I think that's really important because so many now are asking intellectual questions about the validity of the Christian faith, about faith at all. Mm-hmm. And so for me, at least, to be able to offer a book that offers some words that provides language that resonates with people in their 21st century experience, I think that can be a good thing. And so that's really what I was trying to do in that book. In many ways, it's a simple effort. It's a simple book. But I think for people grappling for this larger relevancy for their faith, that they might find it helpful.
And you have an interest in the relationship between religious faith and the cultural life of Americans. And so you use a breadth of resources, including art, poetry, photography, music, film, and so forth, to inspire and challenge people. Is that an effective way to connect people with faith today?
I think it is. And the reason why is because religion is really about trying to find out what life means. Mm. Well, in many ways, art is doing the same, whether it's painting or whether it's music or whether it's poetry or literature, film. All of these are human efforts to understand what does it mean to be a human being. And so it's just a natural for me to bring art together and faith together. And I think people really like those connections because what it does, it makes sense of faith, it makes sense of art, and it also begins training you to open your eyes to everyday life. Because in many ways, to be a Christian is to be an artist of your own life. And if that can happen, that's a really good thing.
Mm. I understand you had a positive childhood experience with an adolescent sojourn into Christian fundamentalism, but quickly rejected that in favor of a progressive and intellectually satisfying faith. Tell us a little about that journey.
Well, it's interesting because growing up as a child, I actually was brought up in a mainline Protestant church, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and I have such wonderful childhood memories of going to that church. And in many ways, I still trace my call to ministry back to that church of remembering seeing candles lit in the sanctuary, and it had a kind of mystery to it, and I loved it. But then when I was in high school, as is not uncommon with adolescents, I had a very profound born-again experience in a youth group that was part of a very conservative church. This conservative church thought they had all the answers. Everything was black and white. They knew who was in, who was out, what was right, what was wrong. And as an adolescent, I bought into all of that. And I think I did it because it provided real security and stability for me as a 15, 16-year-old kid. But very quickly, I began to ask intellectual questions. And what I learned is that when you ask those intellectual questions in a context like that, those questions are not always welcome. Mm-hmm. And then I also asked questions, and the answers I received just did not make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me that most of the people in the world were going straight to hell because they had not heard the Christian message and had not been baptized. And so that set me on a journey. And the journey was to find a faith more broadly conceived and one that made intellectual sense as well as spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. And so in many ways, I think my whole adult ministry has been about that search. It's been a search for myself, but I've also invited people in my preaching and my writing to join me on that journey because I think a lot of people are also looking for a faith that makes sense intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, socially. And on the one hand, being a part of that youth group experience as an adolescent was painful. On the other hand, it provided me with a launching pad for my spiritual search. And for that, I'm grateful.
It's all part of the journey.
It is part of the journey. And there's no part of the journey that has to be wasted. It can all help us in our search for God and the search for ourselves.
Well, your sermon this week draws from the gospel lesson from Matthew, the 16th chapter. Jesus has a fascinating discussion with his disciples around some big questions. Would you read the passage for us?
I would be happy to. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Scott, your sermon is entitled, "The Energy That is Christ." Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's been a great experience for me. Our Bible reading today from the Gospel of Matthew suggests that Jesus was taking a step-back moment in his life and ministry, a pause, a time of evaluation. He had been traveling with the disciples, teaching, listening, reaching out to people. A divine energy was being released into the world through him, an energy that included passion for justice, healing and compassion for all people, acceptance for the unacceptable. Yes, something special was happening in the life of Jesus. Yet even when good things are happening, it's important, if not essential, to step back every now and then and ask, what is really happening? Where have I been? Where do I want to go? What is my life all about? In a similar way, Jesus begins asking the disciples step-back questions. He asks, what are people saying about me? It's a good question. The disciples begin rattling off the results of the most recent public opinion poll. A certain percentage of people say that you are John the Baptist, or at least like John the Baptist, and some think you're the second coming of the great prophet Elijah, and still others believe you're stern and austere like Jeremiah or one of the great prophets from our tradition. In other words, Jesus, people are beginning to put you on the Mount Rushmore of Jewish prophets. You're really making a name for yourself. You're really going places, Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? How easy it would have been to stop there. Jesus was trending and going viral and lighting up social media in his first century world. It all looked so positive. What more could he have wanted? Yet, Jesus wasn't taking a poll. Jesus was trying to take the disciples to a deeper place. And that's why he turned to them and asked a more penetrating question. He said, but who do you say that I am? That's when Peter, always impetuous, always ready with a quick answer, that's when Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in a way, he was right. The words were right. But then Jesus asked him to tell no one. Why? Why does Jesus silence a perfectly good answer? Well, it's a puzzle to be sure, but I think it suggests that you can say the right theological words, but that doesn't guarantee you have the right theological content. Because after you say the words, you then have to understand the meaning of them. When it comes to faith, meaning is everything. What does it mean to say that Jesus is the Christ? More and more, what makes sense to me is this. Christ is not just a person, and it's not just a title, and it's certainly not the last name of Jesus. No, Christ is a word that names the divine energy that was released into the world through the life of Jesus. Just as stars explode and new planets are formed, so in the life of Jesus, a certain kind of Christ energy was constellated and released into the world, and this energy is still changing people. This is nothing less than the energy or presence of God. Compassion exploded into the world through the life of Jesus. Unconditional love and inexhaustible grace was released into the world through the life of Jesus. Creative, transforming, and inspiring goodness was released into the world through the life of Jesus. So much so that I like to think of Jesus as a Christ burst, a burst of God energy that continues to shape the world one heart, one person, and one community at a time. Anyone can say Jesus is the Christ. That's easy. The words are easy. But can you find the energy? It's the energy of Christ that matters most. I thought about this not too long ago when I read a story about a woman who was alone, very ill, and she was at home dying of AIDS. It would be hard to overstate how depressed and discouraged she was feeling. A friend was so concerned that she called a priest to come by and visit the woman. I can tell you from personal experience that it doesn't always work so well when somebody calls a minister to visit someone else. But in this case, it actually did work. The woman candidly told the priest, "Look, I've made such a mess of my life. I've made so many mistakes. How could God ever forgive me?" The priest listened. He said to her, "God can forgive anyone, anytime. We just have to trust it, receive it, let it come close to us." The woman said, "I think I'm beyond believing it." At that very moment, the priest happened to notice that on the woman's bedroom dresser was a beautiful picture of a young girl. She looked to be maybe 12 years old. He asked the woman, "Who is that little girl in the picture?" And for the first time in the conversation, the woman smiled. She said, "Oh, that's my daughter. She's the only beautiful thing I have left in my life." The priest said, "And if your daughter made some mistakes and did some things that were wrong and was hurting and broken, wouldn't you forgive her? Wouldn't you come close to her and still love her? Wouldn't you still want her to be in your life?" The woman whispering now, the woman said, "Yes. Yes. Yes, of course." And then that priest made a wonderfully astute theological connection. He said, "I want you to know that God has a picture of you on God's dresser, and God still loves you, and you are not alone." That is Christ energy. Every time we treat another person with dignity and respect, and every time we bring a little compassion to another human being, especially a human being that is hurting and broken, and every time we offer love as a way of life, we bring Christ to others. And the great Christ burst that started centuries ago continues in our time and in our place. The Italian writer Ignazio Silloni has a line in one of his books that goes like this: "If we treat one another in the same way that Jesus treated people, it will be as if Jesus never left the world." I think it is so true. Thinking about Christ as creative, transforming, inspiring energy cuts in two different directions for those of us who profess Christian faith. On the one hand, it is a gift we receive, and I might also add that it's a gift that all of us need. Because we are all broken by the challenges of life. We're lonely, or we're insecure, or we're anxious. We're hurt, or we're angry, or we're bitter. Yet to believe in the great bursting energy of Christ is to believe that love is at the heart of life. And so is grace, and so is forgiveness, and so is kindness. And we are all desperate for it, every one of us. Yes, we receive Christ energy, but we are also called to share that energy with others. And while I know some people like to equate sharing Christ with talking about Christ or quoting the Bible or trying to convert someone to Christianity, I am more and more of the persuasion that we share Christ by doing Christ things in this world. That is to say, we find ways that are right for us to release Christ into the universe. There's an often told Jewish tale about a rabbi asking his students how they can tell a new day has dawned upon the earth. One crafty student said, "Well, you can tell it's a new day when there is enough light to see the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree." It was a good answer, but not the right answer. Another student said, "Rabbi, you can tell it's a new day when you can look down the road and tell whether or not the animal up ahead is a fox or a dog." again. A good answer, but not the right answer. The rabbi then looked at his students, paused for a long time, and finally he said, "It's a new day. When there is enough light that allows you to see the face of another human being, and looking upon that face, you see your brother or sister. Until that happens, it is still night." And for the purposes of today's message, I might tweak it just a bit and simply offer, it's a new day. Every time I can see the face of Christ in another human being, in the homeless man I pass each morning in Los Angeles, in the troubled church member I see every Sunday, in the perplexing family member I don't really understand, the day we see Christ in others is the day a new day has dawned. To say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is so easy. But to discover the energy, to receive it and share it, that's really what it's all about. I think the writer Thomas Merton was on to something years ago when he said that Jesus was like a great magnifying glass, and through him the light of God came to the world in a concentrated and beautiful way. And when we place our dry and brittle lives under that light, the spirit of each person comes ablaze with newness. To me, that is the power of Jesus Christ. Divine light, divine energy, and divine love that still combusts within the complexity of the human heart. To know that energy and to share it with others is everything. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we believe that the energy of Jesus is still radiating in our world, and that a Christ burst happens every time we love our neighbor, every time we bring compassion to another human being, every time we offer forgiveness and hope to a fellow traveler. May Christ become more than a person of the past. May he become our living reality, ever fresh, ever real, ever shining in your world. Amen.
One of the great blessings we enjoy at Day One is working with the more than 200 affiliates that broadcast our program each week. Some have been with us since we began in 1945 as the Protestant Hour, and several have more recently joined the Day One Network. Please help us thank our broadcasters by giving your local station a call or sending them a note and telling them how much you enjoy listening to Day One. Please keep our radio stations, our staff and trustees, and all our listeners in your prayers as we continue to bring you outstanding preaching from all across this great country. And remember, we rely on the financial gifts of churches and loyal listeners like you to continue broadcasting Day One. You can send your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Thank you for listening and for supporting Day One. Scott Colglazier offers some final reflections on his sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Scott, thank you for a refreshing approach for thinking about who Jesus the Christ is even today. You started by noting that Jesus had been traveling with his disciples, teaching, reaching out to people, But here in Matthew 16, he takes a step back to ask significant questions about where they've been and where they're going. Why is that an important practice for us, even when things are going well?
Well, I think one of the things that we can say about 21st century life is that everybody is busy. I see people all the time, and everyone's overloaded. So dialed in to technology, smartphone, their iPad, their computer. And so every now and then we need to step back and we need to ask fundamental questions about who we are, what we're about, what we really want to accomplish in life, how our relationships are going. And so I look at this story of Jesus and he's really doing the same. Mm-hmm. He's asking the disciples theological questions, but it comes sort of at the middle of his ministry. And so he's saying, let's stop a minute. Let's talk. Let's reflect on this. And one thing you know about Jesus is that Jesus often would go to a desert place, or he would go to the seaside, or he would go to the mountains, and there he would pause, he would pray, he would reflect. That is so essential for a well-balanced life.
Peter responded to his question by saying that Jesus is the Christ, and it's important to understand what that means. You said Christ is a word that names the divine energy released into the world through the life of Jesus. It's nothing less than the presence of God, God's unconditional love and inexhaustible grace exploding into the world through the life of Jesus. You called it a Christ burst of God that continues to shape our world, one person, one community at a time. So how can this approach to understanding Christ help us live our lives more meaningfully?
Well, for me, I think one way to think about it is that Jesus is not a person just of the past, but Christ energy continues to radiate now in the present. And so when we do Jesus things, when we possess Jesus attitudes, when we advocate for Jesus kinds of things in this world, that keeps the energy rolling. It keeps the energy radiating out into the world. And so faith, for me at least, needs to be in the present. It's not about a museum-quality person that we remember every now and then. No, it's about this spiritual energy that started with Jesus, and in fact started before Jesus in the life of the Jewish people, but was represented in a decisive way in the life of Jesus. And so that energy still has its compelling interest for us, and it still has its transforming power for us.
Scott, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
I really hope that people will keep in mind that their relationship with God is an ongoing experience, that just as Jesus was traveling with the disciples, so God is traveling with us. And where we are today may not be where we were yesterday, and it may not be where we're going to be tomorrow. God is still inviting us to love others, to show compassion to the world, and to be on this adventure of knowing ourselves and loving our neighbor as ourselves. If we can engage that journey each and every day, it's fresh, it's real, and it is like the burst of God's love in our lives and in our world.
Scott Koglaser, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you so much.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.